In this powerful message entitled The Spirit-Filled Life, Joseph Carroll reveals the marks of a life fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit. This message was originally published in 1953. You are listening to Joseph Carroll Classics by the Evangelical Institute.
When I received the invitation some time ago from your pastor as to the possibility of coming here after prayer, I felt that the Lord would have me to come. And when I considered the morning meetings, there was only one message which kept coming constantly before me, and that was the message of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we shall meet together each morning, God willing, to consider something of the ministry of this forgotten third person of the Trinity. Unfortunately, we do not have many mornings together, four mornings, but I believe as we wait upon the Holy Spirit and trust Him to do a quick work, He will do that. We must never forget that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. And He can do 1,000 years work in a day. So that we must never be limited in our faith because of a natural viewpoint, thinking that God cannot do what He wants to do in one day. He can. He could do all that He wants to do this morning if we're in His will and if we're obedient to what He has to say to us. Now, you are doubtless aware that during recent years there has been much controversy with regard to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I want to cover as much ground as I possibly can during these mornings together. But I want you to consider with me, firstly, not so much what a person must do to be filled with the Spirit this morning, but what a person is like who is filled with the Spirit. You will hear some people say, well, I am filled with the Spirit. I have had an ecstatic experience. And that to me is the proof from the Word of God that I am filled with the Spirit. Well, we're going to consider that tomorrow morning. The ecstatic experience. But I'm more concerned with what a person is like. How can I tell if a person is filled with the Spirit? That's the important thing. Well, to know whether or not a person is filled with the Spirit, we must as ever come to the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say concerning the person who is filled with the Spirit. And let us not underestimate the command to be filled with the Spirit. If you are not filled with the Spirit this morning, you are not in the directive will of God. You do not have all that God wants you to have. Now let's face that. Let's face it. In the living of this life which your Lord has called you to, you must have power. You cannot live a supernatural life with natural power. It can't be done. You are called to live a supernatural power. You have experienced a supernatural birth. You have been born from above by the Spirit of God. And to live this life, you need supernatural power. Now, A.T. Pearson, one of the great Bible teachers at the turn of the century in this country, a man who took the place of C.H. Spurgeon in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, London, well said, in the spiritual realm, there is one all-subduing, all-controlling force, power, or energy, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that is worth taking down if you have a pencil and paper with you, because it gives us a sense of direction. In the spiritual realm, there is one all-subduing, all-controlling force, power, or energy, the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore we are commanded in the Word of God to be filled with the Spirit. We read that command this morning, and we are going to consider that command at length during our mornings together in the 5th chapter and the 18th verse. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Now, why does Paul couple these two precepts? Be not drunk, be filled. It was the undeniable moral duty of every believer in Ephesus not to be drunk with wine. But it was also the undeniable duty of these people to be filled with the Spirit. Nobody would consider that for one moment that a Christian has any right to be drunk with wine. He hasn't. But it is just as much a duty of the Christian, the born-again child of God, to be filled with the Spirit. And Hanley Moore, probably the greatest theologian during the later decades of the last century and early this century, speaking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, he says, this is that which the church needs with a need which cannot be uttered. The church militant on earth needs the fullness of the Holy Spirit with a need which cannot be uttered. It is beyond human expression. And that is why we find that the enemy, as is his usual approach to vital truth, will endeavor to smother something. And if he cannot smother it, if he cannot close our lips concerning it, he will endeavor to make it look ridiculous. That is what he has done concerning the person and work of Satan. How many messages have you heard on the person and work of Satan? Very few. He does not want to be spoken about. He does not want to be exposed. Therefore, he silences the man in the pulpit. If you do not hear about Satan, you'll never know anything about him. And then if he cannot silence you concerning his person and work, he will make himself to appear a rather ridiculous person with horns and tail. The first thing he always tries to do with the vital truth is smother it. And if he cannot smother it, he'll try and make it look ridiculous. Now there are some people, unfortunately, who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and whom we must love with pure hearts fervently, and endeavor to understand them and pray for them, who make the ministry of the Holy Spirit appear to be rather ridiculous. Unfortunately, I have attended some of their meetings, and I want to emphasize this morning and possibly throughout the mornings together that when the Spirit himself came upon the Lord Jesus, he came as a dove. A tender, gentle dove. He came as a dove. Let's never forget. As a dove. Now I want you to consider with me what a person is like who is filled with the Spirit. And the proving ground is that 5th chapter of Galatians which we read. In the 22nd verse, we have the 22nd and the 23rd verses, we have a description of a person who is filled with the Spirit. Now I want you to notice that this fruit of the Spirit is most unusual from the viewpoint of many people in that it reveals to us all the gentler virtues. All the gentler virtues. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, the gentler virtues. Now that is a description of a person who is filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now let us look at this fruit of the Spirit. We know that man is so constituted that he has a threefold relationship. He has a relationship to God. He has a relationship to man, and he has a relationship to himself. Now, is that clear? Man has a threefold relationship. Firstly, you have a relationship to God. That is the most vital of all. Then you have a relationship to your fellow. And then you have a relationship to yourself. That is the life you've been called to. A relationship with God, a relationship to your fellow, and a relationship to yourself. Now we emphasize very much our relationship to God. And very little our relationship to ourselves, to each other, and to ourselves. But here you find provision in this fruit of the Spirit for the maintenance of your relationship to God, your relationship to your fellow, and your relationship to yourself. All that you need to live this life in the power of a risen Christ is found in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe God is more concerned about our being than our doing. Our being, what we are, not what we profess. It was said of Robert Murray McChain, that saintly young man of God, that when he walked down the streets of the village where he ministers, people came under conviction of sin simply by looking at him. They saw this holy man walk down the street and they came under conviction of sin simply by looking at him. He was a holy man. A holy man. God is more concerned with our being than with our doing. And so we find in this fruit of the Spirit that which will enable us to maintain full fellowship with our Lord, full fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and enable us to maintain that relationship with ourselves. Now, I want you to notice that there are three groups of three each. Love, joy, peace is the first group. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, the second group. Faith, meekness, temperance, the third. The first has to do with our relationship to God. Love, joy, peace. The second with our relationship to others. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. The third, with our relationship to ourselves, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, firstly, our relationship to God. Love, joy, peace. Now, this is the love of God. This is not your natural love. This is the love of God. In Romans 5:5, we read, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Not your love work up to some peak of utmost perfection, but the love of God filling and flooding your very being, the love of God in its entirety. When the Spirit of God fills your life, He fills you with love. We have many people today who say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order that I might be filled with power. If you're not filled with love, my friend, you'll never be filled with power. You'll never be filled with power. Spirit of God comes to fill you with love. And it's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts the love of God in its entirety by the Holy Spirit. And we find that love is always characterized by self-denial. Self-denial for the one loved. And so the first thing we must look for in a person who is filled with the Spirit is love. He loves the Lord, his God, with all his heart. And he proves it by a life of self-denial for his Lord. With all his heart. He is satisfied with God. He is fully satisfied with God. Not with God plus something, but with God. He's satisfied. Now, is that your experience this morning? Can you say Jesus fully satisfies? Not Jesus plus something or someone, but Jesus, period. Jesus. Can you say that? You know, my dear friends, the first discordant note in Eden was not when Eve yielded to the temptation of Satan. That was not the first discordant note in Eden. The first discordant note in Eden was when God found that it was not good for man to be alone. That man had a heart which was not fully and finally satisfied with God himself and with God alone. That was the first discordant note. God had made man for himself, and what did he find? It was not good for man to be alone. He was not fully satisfied with God. He wanted somebody else. He needed someone. And that's been the trouble all down the centuries. But God wasn't defeated in Eden. There is going to come a day when you will be forever fully satisfied with God and with God alone. There is going to come a day when you will love the Lord your God with all your heart. God has not been defeated in that. But God wants us to be satisfied with himself. Now, are you satisfied with the Lord Jesus? Does he meet your need? Not the Lord Jesus and my husband, not the Lord Jesus and my family, not the Lord Jesus and my preaching, not the Lord Jesus and my home, not the Lord Jesus and my career, Jesus only. And when the Spirit of God controls your life, you'll be able to say that with all your heart and mean it. And mean it. You will be able to say, Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all, in Thee I find. You'll be able to say it. The love of God, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we love God with the love which He gives us, His own love. That's the first characteristic. The second is joy with regard to God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. Not your dynamic personality. If there's anything that God hates, it's flesh. God hates flesh. And he's placed condemned over flesh. If you want to displease God, you just try and please him by something of the flesh. If there's anything God hates, it's the flesh. Not your dynamic personality, your anything that's of self. No, this is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Now, does the joy of the Lord fill your heart this morning? Does it fill your heart? A person who is filled with the Holy Spirit is filled with joy. And everybody knows it. Cannot be hidden. Filled with joy. It's the joy of the Lord. And he's filled with peace. Love, joy, peace. The peace of God. Reigning in his heart. Guarding his heart. Mounting guard over his heart. Patrolling before his heart. The peace of God. I remember during a series of meetings in Moody Bible Institute with the students there, the one dear young fellow came following an experience he had with the Lord. He said, "Mr. Cal, I have great peace in my heart. I have never had such peace before. I have great peace." Of course he had great peace. He'd surrendered his all to the Lord and he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. He had great peace. It was the peace of God. And so we find that firstly, there are three with regard to God. Love, joy, peace. Then three with regard to our fellows. What is the first? Long suffering. Long suffering. Now, am I long-suffering toward my brother? Am I long-suffering? Do I patiently endure wrong? Or am I disturbed? Do I get upset? Do I entertain thoughts of retaliation? Or revenge? Or am I long-suffering toward my brother? That's the first test. I would say, my dear friends, I'm very much confidence in people who loudly profess certain things and show a very ungracious and loving spirit toward their brother, regardless of what communion he may be in. You have no license to do anything but to love your brother fervently, regardless of who he is or where he is or where he meets or anything else about him. Am I long-suffering toward my brother? Am I gentle toward my brother? Gentle. Paul said, "I beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Meekness and gentleness. The only self-descriptive words our Lord ever used were, "I am meek and lowly in heart." I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Am I gentle? Am I kind? Or am I harsh and austere? You've met Christians like that? Haughty. Harsh. You don't agree with me, you're wrong. Yes. Not an evidence of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, my brother and my sister. Not an evidence of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Am I gentle? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Goodness. Do I aim at the promotion of my brother's interests? Or am I always seeking my own interests? Scripture says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Finney said, if we carried out this command of the Word of God, we'd have revival in no time. Am I always seeking the good of my brother, or am I seeking my own good, my own advancement, my own promotion? Oh, how the Word of God cuts down deep at the self-life. I want to tell you, my dear friends, this morning, there are not very many Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Regardless of their profession or experience. Not many. Then three, with regard to ourselves. Faith or faithfulness. Fidelity. This does not refer to faith exercised by the saint, but to faithfulness. Faithfulness. Am I faithful? Can I be counted upon? Meekness. Am I mild and gentle? That's it. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If you have the yoke of Christ, you will become meek and you will become lowly. And then temperance or self-control. Do I have mastery over my desires, over my impulses? Am I disciplined? Three, with regard to myself, faithfulness, meekness, discipline. Discipline. Now that is a description of a person filled with the Spirit. Now I care not, my dear friend, what your profession is, what is your life? What is your life? Let us not forget that we are living in an age when even the very elect are going to be deceived. That's the testimony of Scripture. And I'm not very much concerned about experience unless it comes up to the Scripture concerning what an experience should lead you into. Now, are you filled with the Spirit this morning? Are you filled with the Spirit? If you are not filled with the Spirit, you are not in the directive will of God. You do not have all that your Lord has for you. If you are filled with the Spirit, this is a description of your life. Description of your life.
Thank you for listening to Joseph Carroll Classics by the Evangelical Institute. You can find more messages on our website at eibibleschool.org.